The House Rules Committee is in order, Senate. Well, who may forget?
It may, but that's in a different room.
How soon they forget. In the continuing saga of trying to solve all the world's problems and make the state a better place to live, today we want to take a look at the discussions around annual sessions. It's come up, really, we just learned that Senator Miller had an initiative out in 1990, over a decade ago, so...
Lost.
And he lost.
I was just pointing that out.
But what the committee's trying to do is just have casual conversation, just general discussion on some of the ideas that are out there concerning this type of operation. Will it be a better place? Will it add value? Will it run the state better? Just those kind of things. Yeah, we are the board of directors of almost a $6 billion a year corporation, and we meet every other year for less than half a year to run that corporation. So, maybe there's some things to talk about. But what we might do is we might see some ideas that really crop up, and we might try and go ahead and try a little legislation, perhaps. Just depends on what we hear. So, with that, Randall Edwards, you're first on the list.
Mr. Treasurer, sir.
I will state my name for the record. My name is Randall Edwards, State Treasurer of Oregon, and I'm happy to be here and having been invited to testify on the concept of annual sessions. Senator Miller and I, last session, put in a bill to do this, to do basically what I believe is in front of you, the bill before you, which is to change the way in which you and the legislature meet. And again, I think part of your policy decision is what those time periods are, and you've got a bill before you, which is very similar to what Senator Miller and I put in last session. The political and financial climate in Oregon has changed significantly over the past decade. We are beginning to see the effect of these changes on our legislative process and the financial well-being of our state. As state treasurer, I've been entrusted by the people of Oregon to ensure that the overall financial health of our state is intact. I believe holding legislative sessions annually, as opposed to biennially, will help maintain continuity in your process, the legislative process, and to strengthen our budgeting process as well. In turn, this could improve the management of our finances and also ensure the state's good credit. Holding annual sessions would restore, as I keep underscoring, the continuity which I believe is being destroyed by term limits and the fact that we, or you, are a citizen legislature. The institutional experience among members is fading, particularly on the House side, and the long length of the time between sessions, I think, is demanding that we look at how you are conducting your sessions and how often you meet. Holding sessions once a year would take advantage of the experienced legislators that they've gained in their first session and allow them to continue that dialogue into the next session. By advocating for annual sessions, let me say that I'm not supporting the idea of turning the citizen legislature into a permanent legislature. I think you can maintain the citizen nature of your organization and still do the people's work, but to do it more effectively in an annual session. Holding sessions annually would, as is described in this bill, and I think the concepts have always been around keeping the same number of days as you do currently, only you would meet annually. Annual sessions would also provide the legislature an opportunity to visit the budget each year as revenues come in. As you know, because of property tax rollbacks have changed in which the way in which we budget for education, it is increasingly important that the state base the state's budget on actual or accurate revenue forecasts. As some of you may remember, during this last interim, property taxes came in less than were projected. This created a shortfall in the budget that had to be passed during an e-board. Holding annual sessions would relieve some of that guesswork as we go forward about revenue projections and passing budgets based on projections for 2 years. Lastly, annual sessions would give the legislature, you, an opportunity to address issues being pursued perhaps through the initiative process, which could have a profound effect on the state's policy and budget. In my opinion, annual sessions can help achieve continuity and you can be more precise in your budgeting, which could lead to improvement in the management of the state's revenue. This could also help ensure that we maintain a strong credit rating in the state. Bond rating agencies take a look at the state's overall health and management in determining our credit rating. A high credit rating means Oregon receives low interest rates on the bonds that we sell, saving taxpayers millions of dollars. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about my perspective, particularly now as state treasurer, and how this, I believe, annual sessions could help my job, but also help your job in managing the state's finances. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Randall. I know a lot of us have been down this road. Give me some of the issues. One is the campaign, selling it to the public. You know, there's a certain segment of the public that thinks when the legislature's in session, it's time to lock up the silverware and hide the children in the basement. How are we going to get across that this is a better way to run this corporation?
Hide the children in the basement?
I mean, some people think that.
Well, I think you've got to make the case, and again, who better than you in the legislature who understand how you operate down here, the case that the world has gotten more complex. I mean, your budget, as you described, is now $6 billion per year, $12 billion biannually, and that's just state dollars, let alone federal money that comes in. So your mandates have gotten larger, and I think looking at across the country, most states have annual sessions. We're one of the few states that do not. And I think two points that have changed over time, and again, there's many on this committee who've been around a lot longer than I have, but times have changed. We not only have a bigger budget, but we now have constituencies, children in this case, through school budgeting, that is a new piece that over the last decade has become an enormous part of our budget process. We need to be as accurate and forthright to them, and that was implied in my testimony, that I think annual sessions, we could be more precise in telling them what their budgets are, but also just the complexities of the issues we deal with, or you deal with, and that between sessions right now, and particularly on the House side, people run through re-elections, they're on a two-year cycle, whatever you brought up as a policy or budget matter, automatically, if you don't pass, it goes into the next session, and you have no continuity between sessions. The leadership has got to revisit that issue with a new group of people, and I think you could be more precise in your policy making by having another chance to provide leadership, whether it's budget or policy matters.
Yeah, it's not $6 billion, it's close to 18, isn't it? You're right, I keep forgetting about that part. Senator Courtney.
Yeah, I remember I opposed Senator Miller in 1990 on this issue, the committee to replace it. Just barely lost, though, didn't it?
5,000
votes, 1990 May. I've changed my opinion, and I liked your comments, Treasurer Edwards, because of term limits. Because if you go to annual sessions, in effect, you allow a House member, instead of three sessions, you allow them six. And I thought that was a compelling reason now to seriously look at some kind of significant annual session approach. And I don't know about the citizen legislature, how you sew that in there, but I really do think that now has to be the number one compelling thing, given we're under term limits. And I don't know if you feel that strongly, because you've already talked about the size of the budget and the issues and the population and all that. But term limits, I think, changes the whole annual session discussion. I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney, I totally agree. And that actually was the other overlay of this that I think has really changed how you do your business, and that is term limits really has changed the ability for you to have that continuity. And I guess what you always hear is the knowledge that would be passed along in between sessions. That, I think, is truly the reason why you have to look at changing how we do our business here, or how you do your business, even more so than, I know that you've got a policy decision about whether you change term limits, and that's you've got to decide that, but I think as long as you have term limits, the arguments become even more compelling, as you're describing, to change the way in which we do business. And I think it would help make the interim, in my opinion, more productive, because now you're coming back around and actually meeting in session. And I think you can't replicate the sort of the urgency or the environment in which you meet during session in an interim. And by having annual sessions, you really are doing it again.
Thank you. Senator Brown.
You talked in your testimony about from a budgeting perspective. I guess my question would be, do you think then we would move, or would you recommend that we move to budgeting on an annual basis versus a biannual one?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, I think you could look at how you might do this. If I'm correct, Washington State biennially budgets, but they come back and make modifications annually, which probably would be still, I would say, would probably be the better way to go.
Okay.
We're still in that practice of biennial budgets. I don't think that's a problem. I think the question is trying to fine-tune it. And we have no opportunity today, at least in a biennial session, if you've got a problem, and I keep bringing back the school issue, their property tax base. So if we had a sliding economy, we really have no other way except for an emergency session to come back and address it, if it were a big enough problem, because the E-Board only has so much money.
Senator Atkinson.
This is a question to the Treasurer and also to Senator Miller. In your review last session and, previously 10 years ago, looking at other states, I'm very curious as to the Idaho model, in which I believe they spend, I try to recollect this as a, to ask you the question, I believe they spend 3 months on a budget 1 year looking at the budget, and 4 or maybe it's 5 months the next session essentially working on statutory work and doing fine-tune adjusting to their budget on the other years. Is that some of those plans part of what you guys were thinking about last time? And can you respond to that Idaho, the way they do it in Idaho? No,
please, Senator. This is your committee.
Senator,
I'm just a witness.
The way they, I was a bit distracted. I don't know the Idaho system. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a few other states that do this. I mean, just in all practical purposes, they spend a limited amount of time. You always hear about the clock stop like March 30th, and they throw a black blanket over the clock so they don't get done until some part in the
Well, there are two provisions.
Working on the budget, and then the other time of the year is...
I might, Mr. Chairman. One is the intention we had in the prior bill and reflected, I think, and this one is specific time frames for which people can plan, and it's been my impression that when you have a deadline, you are pretty good about meeting, which is something that is glaringly absent from the setup. And we've had the further protection of, you say, just blanket the clock. This one says that if you're going to go to an extension, you can have one extension with a two-thirds vote of both chambers for 5 days, and you can do that every 5 days, get a two-thirds vote, but it would be my strong impression that you might get it once, but you couldn't very well, even with the great skills of the leadership of Senator Brown and others, to try to convince people to hang in there for another 5 days while you're working something out would be pretty extraordinary. So I think that's helpful. With respect to the subject matter, I think time dictates what it is you're going to deal with. And my impression would be, or my hope would be, that you could deal with budget matters in both sessions, perhaps fine-tune in the short session. But I think it would involve more members observing how we spend our money, and I think that would be very helpful to the process. That it?
Okay. Senator Byer.
I just wanted to comment to Senator Atkinson's comment there. I think there are only now 5, maybe 7 states that meet biennially. All of the rest meet annually sessions. Most of them meet, they have different lengths of session that they have. Most of them are between 90 and 120 days 1 year and 60 and 90 the second year. But they sort of split it up, which if you look at it, the proposal that's been talked about around here, most of the time, they've usually talked about somewhere between a 90 and 120 day session the first year and 60 day session the second year, which is about the same amount, and in fact, it's probably less than we have met during the entire biennium by meeting all at once. And the advantages of most of that we've looked at over the years has been you can have a more productive interim time, push some issues that you can't quite figure off in the regular session off and deal with a very limited number of issues as well as a review of the budget in the second year. So you can keep it short. But the trick, and I'll tell you, the firestorm that always comes up is the process for extending the session beyond whatever the time limit is. And I've consistently advocated that after one or two that you cut off per diem. And the argument that I've usually gotten in the Democratic caucus is you're making it impossible for people of limited means to serve. And my response has always been, no, you're missing the point. The idea is to get you to go home.
We're not there to get you. Senator Brown.
I just have to comment. I expressed concern about Senator Miller's resolution last time around because of the per diem payment piece, and now I'm 180 degrees, and I think we should just do a 5-day extension and then cut it off, and, because I think you're going to put people up against a wall, and they're going to get things done.
The deadlines are normally effective.
Well, if I may, to comment, I think you asked me a question about how you sell this to the public. I think you got to put some brakes on the session if you go to annual session so that they see that you're not becoming that permanent body, which they would fear. And I think, again, this is constitutional, so you're going to have pretty tight, you know, sidebars around you about how far you can go out, and you've described in days how long you'll be here. So I think that would be part of the argument why you're not changing the nature of the citizen legislature, you're just functioning differently. And particularly, as Senator Courtney pointed out, with term limits.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
I didn't mean to bring you away from your busy time spending all our money, but...
No. Thank you.
Representative Devlin.
No.
He's from like... He's from like... that rich district.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my first introduction to annual sessions came, I believe it was July 5th at about 4 a.m. in the morning in 1997 when then Representative Lee Beyer, now Senator Beyer, presented an annual sessions bill on the floor of the House. It was not the best timing to actually have the bill on the floor of the House in a sense it was a few hours from sine die, and because of the hour that it was presented, most of the commentary on it was driven by concerns about creature comforts, that very little of it was policy driven. It was more about whether I could have an apartment for two different years versus 1 year in a biennial, whether or not I could a person could obtain staff. And actually my opinion of annual sessions, even though I believe I voted for it in 97, I wasn't quite convinced, but I admired Representative Beyer, and so I knew his bill was going down by a huge margin, so I think I voted for it at that time.
Second time. Second time.
And so,
bill coming back.
So when I started the 99 session and was assigned to the Rules Committee, and then Representative Edwards, now Treasurer Edwards, was also on the Rules Committee, when Senator Miller and Representative Edwards' bill came over on annual sessions for the Rules Committee's consideration, I supported it. We almost got it to the House floor. Of course, that SJR 15 had a pretty clear vote on the Senate side, and I think actually we would have had a good chance on the House floor, but unfortunately it did not come to a vote, came close. Now, this session, becoming an advocate for annual sessions, given that Representative Edwards is now the state treasurer, I joined with Senator Miller in sponsoring SJR 12, which is exactly the same measure that was considered in the 99 session, and I don't think either one of us is wed exactly to every single word that is in the measure. But I think both of us have become strong advocates for annual sessions. Representative, now Treasurer Edwards, has outlined many of the advantages. You've discussed many of them. Some of them are that have been highlighted, some of the ones that come concern to the public, actually states that have annual sessions where they have two sessions in a biennial period versus R1, their two annual sessions don't equal R1 in terms of time. I think it would also help in terms of planning. I think interims between the sessions would become more meaningful because the people would have some connection between the two sessions. Right now, our interims when people work on issues during the interim, they come back to the next session and half the people are particularly gone in the House that actually had worked on the item. The length of the session would be more predictable. I think citizen issues would be more timely addressed. I think the Treasurer has identified many of the issues relative to our biannual budget process that could be improved if we had annual sessions. And I think legislators would have an opportunity to develop additional expertise. One comment I might make, and I'm trying to be careful here not to say anything that comes off as being negative about my chamber, but everyone up here in this committee, every one of you are former House members. I can almost identify the session that each one of you came from the House. Now, we consider exactly the same measures that you do, given if they come out of one chamber or another. Come to my Transportation Committee, which I believe my chair is doing an excellent job, Representative Starr, trying to keep that committee functional. That committee is a 9-member committee, I believe 9-member. There are 2 members on that committee that have ever been on a Transportation Committee before, myself and Representative Kropf. The chair was on a subcommittee on transportation in a previous session. I think the committee is trying to do good work, and I think they will do good work, but I can give you some examples even in these first few weeks of bills that have come through that committee that have taken 50 minutes to consider, just very simple bills that if it had been in my first session here, they probably would have taken 5 or 10 minutes. And I get this kind of sinking feeling every time I come into one of my committees, and we get any bill that's extremely complex because I know it's going to take weeks to get the members comfortable with the bill.
All of his chairs sitting in the audience right behind him. That was pretty good.
No. So I know Representative Starr told me he would be here, so that's why I made very complimentary comments about Representative Starr.
Certainly you got there. It took him 200 hours. I'm sorry about that. I just he's a puddle jumper, but I had to tell him he was jumping off the cliff.
Well,
I wanted to watch.
I know.
But I think what we are experiencing in the House, you will not experience to the same degree in the Senate because actually a lot of House members will become Senate members, but it is a very difficult process and we deal with some very difficult issues, although not all of the issues come for the public limelight in terms of, but the complexity of the issues requires some background in the issues. It's not as if we don't have good people. We have very good people in the House. I mean, we have a lot of new people that are very committed, they're bright, they're hardworking, but you gain something by experience. And I don't really think you get that type of experience in the interim. You get experience that's beneficial, but you don't get the same kind of experience that you get during a session. And realize, myself being a third-term member and being one of 11 third-term members, that my actual experience in the legislature in a session right now is about 13 months. That's basically what it is in a session environment. And I think we need the annual sessions bill. I'm not wed to the exact language for the bill. I think you indicated that when it went to the voters the last time, it was a very narrow defeat. I think it's time that they consider it. I think I've seen some polls in at least the last couple of years that would indicate that the public is receptive to the idea. They would have the same basic concerns that you outlined. I don't think they're ready for us to become a full-time legislature, nor would many of us even want this to become a full-time legislature. But I think the time for annual sessions has come, and I hope that this committee passes out some version of annual sessions.
Thank you, Representative Devlin, and I was there at 5 a.m. Let me ask you the same question I want to ask everybody is, campaign strategy, how would we sell this concept to the general public? What's some of the things that we should consider?
I think if we made it clear to the public that given those things that the media would usually highlight, you know, they would usually highlight how many days we're going to be in session versus on an annual basis versus biennial. I mean, if we have clear guidelines in terms of how many days, a limit in each of the annual sessions, I do believe that we should keep those provisions in there relative to maybe one or at the most 2 extensions. And although I think it's kind of a bad way to do it, it sends kind of a I'm searching for words here. I do know legislators well enough to know that if you cut off the per diem, you might they might be more urgent to close the session. I think that's a provision to keep in there. I think one of the questions that you're asking, though, underlying your basic question is, one of the difficulties we have as a legislature in referring measures to the public is our public is generally familiar with measures where millions of dollars are spent in opposition and in favor of them. And actually, when a measure goes out of this building that is just basically a good government measure, if you have enough money to basically give a basic explanation to the public, you're probably lucky. I don't anticipate that this measure, though, would generate a lot of organized opposition.
That's a good point. Yeah, this is a good government measure. Yeah, Senator Brown.
I don't have a clue where you're on this issue, and I don't want to know. But would you put this measure on the same ballot that you put a revision to term limits on?
No.
Thank you.
So what?
Chair, I.
Yeah.
She wants this to go in the November.
Yeah, got it. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Starr, you can come defend yourself against one of your committee.
I don't have much to defend, I don't think. I think if it wasn't for Representative Krupp, and when I first saw my committee, I only had one member with experience on my committee, and I went to leadership and said, please give me some more experience, so I got two. two out of nine.
Mark Oliver.
And you're laughing. It's not that funny, really.
Mixed orientations, buddy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I can't disagree with what Representative Devlin has said. In fact, my testimony is going to be extremely brief because Representative Devlin covered most everything that I would cover. The one key in my mind is constitutionally limiting the sessions so that we can, and that's the question you're going to ask, how are you going to sell it? We can sell it on that point. What do you want, a legislature that has no limit on how long they can meet or a legislature that has constitutionally mandated limits? And I look to our neighbor to the north and think that they might have done something right as far as how they organize their legislative sessions. With that, I would pretty much endorse everything that Representative Devlin said regarding this issue. And I can be brief.
Thank you. Senator Menas.
I've got a broader question, and it's not necessarily for you, Representative Starr, but the question is, what is the very purpose of a legislature meeting? I mean, we're having a discussion about constitutionally limiting regular sessions of the legislature, biennial sessions, and it seems to me that the purpose of a legislature to meet is for us as representatives and senators to express the viewpoints of our constituency, which gets me back to the question of the ability of our constituency to express their views in a legislative forum at any time. So, if you limit sessions, you limit the speech of the people that you represent in terms of their ability to have or ask for redress from their government.
Except, though, if we restructured the situation than we have now and have more interim committee, more interim work, I would think that we'd actually expand the opportunity for citizens to have redress, have input into the government, where we'd actually, during interim work on substantive measures, do some more detailed work to prepare ourselves for the session that's going to happen next year. Whereas if I get a call from a constituent the day after signing die, I basically have to wait, give or take a few days, 18 months, before we can be back here to address that issue. Mm-hmm. Whereas the opportunity would come a lot quicker under an annual session scenario. So I understand the dichotomy there, but I think that this would be actually an answer to that situation.
Well, Mr. Chairman, actually, I think Representative Starr's hit on probably one of the strongest reasons to do at least the interim work, and that is the ability of constituencies to have the ability to speak into their government. And that really, I guess, would argue that's the very purpose for the existence of legislatures in the first place. And the House of Representatives is supposed to be the group of individuals closest to the people. Senators, most, I suppose, have a broader perspective, and that's why we have longer terms. And that, so maybe you've hit on the very reason why some change is necessary. I'm not sure what the form is.
Just operationally, that's running this corporation with the input. That's a very, very good answer.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mannix.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Kevin Mannix, an attorney in private practice in Salem, a former 5-month member of the Senate, and a former 5-term member of the House. I understand you'd like me to testify or discuss the idea of annual sessions. And if my understanding is correct, I'll proceed along those grounds.
Correct.
I'd suggest that the committee might want to consider something a little novel and a little different as a test of the notion of annual sessions or annual meetings of the legislature, which would not require a constitutional referral, but which would allow this legislature to make use of some special interim work. The idea would be for the legislature to arrange before it adjourns sine die to have a pre-signed resolution or statement by legislators calling the legislature back into special session, say in October or November, thereabouts, late fall, and having a limited number of issues that you would return to address in special session, thereby allowing an experiment in which there would be a regular adjournment of the legislature, but certain interim committees would be given stronger staffing and a challenge to come back with legislation on a limited number of issues, perhaps 6, perhaps 8 or 10, that this legislature would like some additional time to spend on, and also a resolution which they could consider during special session, which would call for annual sessions of the legislature. Come back for 1 month and address a limited number of issues, do so successfully, and at the same time pass out, if you wish, a resolution to then propose to the voters a constitutional amendment to be voted on next year in 2002 in the primary election or in the general election, so that when you go to the voters, you're able to say, we've just tested the concept, and we've just demonstrated, I hope, successfully, that the legislature could make good use of some interim work and could come back and could have a finite amount of time for a limited number of issues. Now, granted, and if it's done successfully, you then have a test case to take to the voters to say, see, it can be done and we can address some issues, and now if you will agree to this and we'll put it into the Constitution, we can do this on a regular basis, but we won't have quite the same limited agenda. When the legislature comes back, it'll have a specific time frame to work in, but there'll be a better opportunity to make use of the interim. And I would agree with testimony from others that the biggest challenge is having a worthwhile, useful interim. If one knows that one is going to come back with an opportunity to work on legislation with the same membership, there is, I think, a greater desire and greater drive towards getting something accomplished during that interim. It's a little bit frustrating when I think back to our interim judiciary committee and all the good information we gathered, for instance, hearing a lengthy testimony about the civil commitment process, but knowing that a number of us on that committee would then not be back during the next session in order to do anything about it and accept as visitors to the process. And I do think that it adds a little juice to the interim work when you know that you'll actually have an opportunity to get together as a legislature, just as committees have an opportunity to get bills to the floor. Now, the idea I just threw out is not a necessary element to this whole discussion, but I do think it's a novel approach where, if successful, the voters would have to take note of that, the media would comment on it, and it'd be a way, again, of demonstrating that a limited time frame with a specific number of issues to come up with some interim work is a great way to get the people's business done. At the same time, it might also be that that process is so successful that it's decided to repeat the process from time to time without a constitutional amendment. That would be up to the legislators to decide when they came back for the special session. So there's my novel thought for the day, Mr. Chairman.
Never at a loss for novel thoughts. Just fascinating.
Any questions, comments on? Yes, Senator Brown.
Kevin, I guess one of the reasons in the past that I've opposed annual sessions is because I think it's really important that we encourage a diversity of people here in the legislature, and that annual sessions can be very difficult on families. We have a couple of single parents in our caucus, and I think it would make it virtually impossible for single parents and for some families to serve during annual sessions. For example, one senator can put her child in school here for 6 months while we're in session. It's not a huge deal. But for her to come, you know, for 2 months this year and then 2 months next year would be practically impossible. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown, I think that we need to be creative in resolving that particular problem and not let, if, I don't want to use an inappropriate metaphor, but I'd say you always hear about the tail wagging the dog. Here, the issue is more how you support legislators who are from diverse backgrounds and provide them with the right environment to get the work done. That brings me to the issue of legislative pay. And also appropriate per diem. And there's a number of things that the legislature can and should do to be more supportive of its members, especially those who are not as economically strong. And one of the elements is you talk about the infrastructure, you talk about the pay system, you can talk about whatever support networks you establish. But if it's a good idea to have annual sessions, then I would not let the staffing needs or income needs of the individual legislators totally drive the process. But I wouldn't totally ignore that either, because I think you can run through both extremes. As a professional, I've always found it somewhat challenging to have that long a gap away from my practice. Of course, I have to add quickly, I was always spoiled because my law firm is 10 blocks away, and I could go over there in the evenings and weekends, and my house is 12 blocks away. So anything I say, I have to add that caveat that I had an ideal arrangement. Senator Courtney had an almost as ideal arrangement in terms of his home, but not in terms of where he worked. But I would take a look at the annual legislative session as to whether or not the institution is better able to serve the public. And if it is, then deal with the needs of the members and how they can relate to their constituents. And the need to maintain the citizen legislature is an important consideration in the process. But I could almost make the case that on the whole, it's just as positive to have annual sessions if they're time limited as it is to have a biennial session, which is roughly limited and limited more by the desires of the members to get out of Dodge than it is by a particular agenda or a constitutional clock that's running. I don't have an easy answer to that. I do think we need to be more supportive of the needs of the members about special family circumstances.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mannix.
Thank you.
Always a delight. Was that killing you knowing you couldn't get those bills passed from judicious interim? Eating at you all.
Well, actually, Mr. Chairman, it's not eating at me at all because I am a frequent visitor to the process.
Yes, that's what we have noticed.
We have noticed.
Cap Eaton.
I'm going to go into the room. I saw him in a session last night.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My testimony will also be brief because the League's position is in agreement with a number of the points that have already been made today. The League has had a position favoring annual sessions for more than 20 years when we did extensive study of the Constitution and of the provisions in the Constitution for the Oregon Legislature. You were asking particularly about what the public might have to say about this. I think there are a number of positive reasons why the public would support annual sessions, particularly when they are time limited. I think that would say to the public that you're trying to be efficient in your operation to take care of their business. I believe that it would indicate that you are mindful of the budget constraints for annual sessions in limiting the time that you need. I believe that good data about the population growth of the state, about the fiscal responsibilities that have been growing for the legislature, and about the real problem in projecting for 24 months what is going to happen with the state's budget and its income and its revenue and its expenditures can be much better dealt with in a shorter period of time with budget considerations every year. And I believe that it does give the public a better opportunity to speak to decision makers, because while there are, you have interim committees, the public is not as much aware of what's going on during the interim as they are during the session. So if you had annual sessions, I would expect that, as hard as it might be for those of us who are citizen advocates to come every year, it does afford an opportunity for people to come and to talk with you about important issues. So we certainly support your looking at the concept, more than looking at the concept of annual sessions. We have looked at SJR 12. I believe that's a good place to start your discussions. Be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
So 20 years this has been on your plate.
It's been on the League's agenda for 20 years, yes.
Yeah.
We haven't had too many opportunities to speak to it.
You know, there just aren't any new ideas out there. I just find a new idea. It's making me nuts. Anything for Kathy? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Did we have a sign-up? Anybody out there? Some nuggets for us? Here's your chance. Speak free. We have Senator Duncan was going to talk. He has a... he has a proposal. Actually, it's just got printed. It's an LC. We had the LC, but his is, and we've heard this before. I've heard this from the governor. But where you have a form, you form on the first Monday. You organize, and then you go away and have a regular session. You know, later, maybe the next year or later on that year or something that. That it allows the organization to take place and the interim committees to go.
What esoteric thing is that?
Mr. Chair.
Well, it's right here. You can read it. But that's
it was the Idaho plan.
I actually think Ramona Kennedy had a plan similar to that in the 93 session, because it would allow the House members to organize, to get on committees, to learn the building and all that kind of stuff before session actually started.
That's so, really what it's for, but he was going to come and talk to us, but we'll see that when we get into this on the formal bill status. But
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Beyer.
There have actually, that's not a new idea. There have been considerable work, I think, done aggressively, at least in the 90s. There's an entire new book. There's been at least two legislative interim committees that have studied this measure in depth. It usually gets back to, I think Senator Duncan's idea is not a new idea. In fact, I think the originator of that was probably Ramona, although the legislative council handed me a memo the other day from 1992 that talked about organizational sessions. So others have talked about that for a while. The legal basis, basically it allows to get organized quickly and start the business so we don't have this January waiting month for everything to catch up.
Yeah, the problem, back to this $18 billion a year corporation, is what organizational structure should we or could we consider if it's different from the way we're doing it now. So that's just another one of those ideas that's out there. What you guys hear today, Representative Atkinson, anything that rings your chimes?
Well, I think as far as my chimes getting ringed, I mean, I'm generally supportive. I think the thing that's the key to this whole thing is the day at which this stops, and you know, is that 3 months? I think 60 days on an off year is a little bit. I'm uncomfortable if having a session that's so short as to being a little sprint race of bills and say a 60-day time frame. But having it, you know, a 90-day or two 120s or something like that, to me it's fairly, at this point, it's semantics as long as you have an end date on both of them.
Okay.
That's what my chimes are, the noise they're making right now.
So,
Mr. Chair.
Comfortable with trying to pursue some concept like this. Senator Menace?
We started talking about these things in 1985.
85.
First session, mm-hmm. I sat on the Rules Committee. And I guess the only thing I'd do is recommend you watch the movie Barbarians at the Gate. Because they literally were successful in creating a smokeless cigarette. for the purpose of marketing. The problem was it smelled so bad that nobody could stand to be around anyone, so it was virtually unsaleable. And I think the problem is this dog don't hunt. When you take this puppy out to the people in the state of Oregon, I'm afraid the campaign would be unusually expensive and very difficult to sell to the people because, and I think for false reasons, out of their lack of understanding of the legislative process, they would believe that we're trying to somehow do something we shouldn't do. And I don't know. We sent it out, I think, in 1990. Didn't we send one out in 87, too? I thought, okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But it just went flat like a pancake, so I'm not real thrilled about spending a lot of time doing this.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Senator Brown?
I think it's fine. I think the fact that we have term limits now, we didn't have it in 1990, changes the sort of background for annual sessions. I guess I would ask you to not put it on the same ballot that you're going to put the term limit pleasure ballot on.
Yeah, I think we can see that.
Okay.
Should we keep on thinking of the same thing? Okay. Former Representative Strobeck, you had a chance to talk. No, come on. Just couldn't stand it, could you?
Nope, he's going to say that famous thing. I wasn't going to speak.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Ken Strobeck, former representative, speaking here as a private citizen. Interesting to listen to your discussion today, but I would still vote no on Representative Byers' bill, regardless. I voted no at 1 in the morning, nothing personal, but I really believe that some of the discussion...
this is yours.
Senator Miller's bill.
I was referring back to the earlier testimony about when the Representative Byers' bill came before us. And I understand the issue about the efficiency of government. I certainly share that perspective, but I agree with what Senator Minnis just said, that I don't think that the people yet have seen what the problem is that this solution is designed to fix. And I've been talking to folks when I was in office about term limits, and I think that many people recognize that term limits is creating a lack of historical memory, of a lack of continuity, and that is something that needs to be looked at. And I also agree with the idea of retiming the session. I worked on a committee that did that in the House in 97. We came up with the same proposal again, to have an organizational meeting, then have the interim, then have the session, the way the original Oregon Constitution prescribed it in September, which is an idea of going from September to the end of the year, or doing something like that. But I have a feeling that if you send this out to the people and say we would just like to have annual sessions because it feels better, I think that regardless of the term that you're going to put on the limit of the session, that they would perceive that this just means more government and more time and more people being away from them. And the biennial budget, I think, works. We have a proposal this session for counties to go to biennial budgeting. I think people see the value in having a little bit of a forecast threshold to go to into the future. So I would encourage you to take this from a different perspective on the term limits and the retiming issue, rather than just saying everybody else is going to annual sessions, so why don't we do it too?
Okay. Senator Portman.
The problem is the size of the ballot initiative. That's the problem.
Say that again.
You have a ballot that has become very burdensome to the voter. I am hearing more and more about that, the incredible number of issues that people are being asked to vote on. And the one thing about an annual session, if it's a vibrant, dynamic thing, it will respond in a way that the use of the initiative will not be so necessary, because those kinds of things that people are putting on the ballot will be brought here, and at least some of them will be worked, and at least some of them will end up in legislation. I really believe that. And I think that is significant, because I think the initiative process has taken over the legislative process in the state of Oregon for all intents and purposes, and the size of the ballot demonstrates that. And the people's inability to access legislature, I think it was very well said here by, I forget which one of the representatives, you know, Representative, I think it was Starr or something, a day after we sign, he dies, somebody comes to him, he has to say, I can't help you, until 18 months later. And I really believe that there is a problem
with this whole initiative and the size of the ballot. And that is one thing I think the annual session would address. I really do believe that. Now, the Sizemore and them, they're going to do what they're going to do, but I really believe when you look at the number of issues in that last ballot, and I think that's going to continue. I think you're going to continue, Representative Strobeck, to see that magnitude. You're meeting every year, at least for some period of time. You allow the public to access this, or legislators at least, to go and anticipate these initiatives and bring them in bill form so that a committee starts to work it. Maybe he ends up passing a bill and takes the wind or the air right out of that need to go to the public to deal with it. I think there is that problem that the public would like fixed, at least the public that I hear. They're this size ballot of a thing bothers them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Beyer, anything?
Jumping right over the top of it. Huh?
Right over the top. We'll let him finish.
We build his time. I think the timing is right to do this, but I thought it was right for the last 10 years, too. And I think one of the differences, you know, Ken was talking about the public not ready to make a change. I would say that if you took it out to the public, most of the public today, and say, we want to change this to restrict the number of days the legislature would be in session, they would think we were restricting things because they keep stopping me on the street and saying, why are you here? Why aren't you in Salem? Aren't you guys in sessions? And regardless of the time, most people, the reality is most people in the state choose to vote for whoever they chose to vote for and then forget about the legislature, except for complaining about it after they read something we've done in the paper that they didn't like. They do think we meet all the time. They do think that we're paid at the same level that U.S. representatives are. So that's where they're kind of at on that. I think we've heard a lot of good arguments why it makes sense. I think the one of better accountability to the public is the one that really counts for me. You would have to be able to make some changes. The administrative structure that we have now, one bills can be introduced in that, is problematic, and it really dates back to how you used to do printing, you know, 150 years ago. And the first readings and that, and the fact that probably when they started, there were some people in the Oregon legislature who couldn't read. We could change a lot of that and get the business efficiency just on that basis that you're talking about. I think changing to annual sessions, if you kept your committee structures, allows the assembly to do a better job of studying difficult issues and bringing forth proposals back again. What happens under our interim system now is once the session signee dies, the interim committees are a waste of time because for the most part, people serving on committees aren't on those committees during the next session, and so you put no faith in them. All we do is come and collect per diem and waste the public's money, largely. And I think you could change that and make them very productive. And I know in the past, different members have felt that interims have been productive, but that's not been my experience in the last decade here. One of the things that didn't come up today that I'm interested in is the reaction to administrative rules have been a big issue around here, you know, whether the bureaucracy is responsive or not. I think that all of us that have been around here a little while know a couple of things to be absolutely true. Just before a session starts and during the session, the governor and the administrative leaders are very responsive to everything we want. And it's just as soon as the hammer comes down, sign ye die, they forget your name. And they can ride you out until the next election cycle and hope that you won't be back. And it makes it very difficult for a legislator to respond to their constituents. If you want a better responding executive branch, you have the legislative branch here more frequently and restrict their time. It just makes it better. I also think there's an argument that can be made if you have the two terms and you truly spend the time to study the issues, that you have the opportunity to identify issues in the first term, realize they're complex, and take them out to the communities more during the interim and get better responsiveness from the public and better exploration, both better understanding as well as better ideas that you can bring back in and craft better legislation. So that's my list of why it makes sense. I do think that in order to make it work, you need to restrict it. I think Senator Miller's idea, the timing on it, we're pretty close on that, whether it's 120 or 90 days and 50 or 60, I don't think it makes a lot of difference, but I think you need to restrict it, and I would submit that you could end up spending less days in the Capitol in regular session in two annual sessions than you spend now, because we all, I mean, we've all been sitting around talking about how much time we haven't spent doing anything in the last 3 weeks while we wait for bills and things to catch up. The real business takes a while to get going, and I think you can make that better. The other thing that I think is bear considering, and Senator Brown brought up the issue of the difficulty of service, I find is former Representative, former Senator Mannix is talking about, it is very hard to leave a small business and come here for 6 months or 7 months. You're really not sure. The piece that I think folks don't understand, particularly if you're in a professional practice, is you really got to start shutting down your business and not taking new clients on at least 60 days beforehand, because you can't adequately deal with them. And then you got another 60 to 90 day lag time after you adjourn to build it back up again. So you essentially have almost wasted the year. I think that would be fundamentally different if you were looking at sessions that weren't going to last any longer than 4 months. My preference would be to go to a couple of a 90 and a 60-day session if it was well prepared beforehand, supplemented by some interim work that would say maybe we come into the building once every month or every other month for a Friday and a Saturday. I mean, that would be a reasonable way to do it and allow you to continue doing your private business and allow Oregon to continue to have a lay legislature rather than moving to the political professional legislature that we tend to be doing now. So that's my thoughts.
Good points. Just picture this. One of these sessions is an all-budget session, and you have 90 legislators. And if the budget, when that strikes fear in the heart across the street. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A lot of very good comments. I think of particular value is the interim work that my experience is in close to 18 years, I guess, has been not especially valuable. An opportunity to learn a little bit, but no opportunity really to develop with continuity legislation that would be enacted without having to be repetitive in the next session in which it was introduced. I think the 60-day provision is plenty. What this does is add certainty to one's plan. I'm sensitive to what Senator Brown said with respect to the different situations that people who come here find themselves in. I think one of the benefits about securing certain time frames in here is people can plan. Right now, you know, you say goodbye and we're not sure you're getting back. So, like you said, it's 120 and there's a I think this bill is 50. One reason to do 50, frankly, as opposed to 60, was the consideration for people who come here from out of town, so that maybe if we are disciplined, they only need 2 months' rent, as opposed to saying we're going to stay here 60. Well, they probably need a couple of days on the front end to move in, a couple of days to get out. So just a very practical concern to accommodate those who come from further than I do.
I appreciate that.
Well, try to get the chairman's support any way I can. I think the responsiveness of the administrative agencies is absolutely true. I know they're delighted when we leave, because currently they aren't going to see us for a long time. And this would give us the ability to have their attention. What Senator Courtney said about initiatives, too, I think if we are responsive to the public, perhaps that's not as active. And maybe the ideas are as active, but they get examined in a hearing setting like these with all kinds of people participating. And that's perhaps better for this state. So the other thing I would say with respect to the public's reaction, there were a lot of doomsayers 11 years ago. He said this wouldn't have a chance. The people would come out of the woodwork and say this is going to be a full-time legislature, and it didn't have a ghost of a chance. Well, without any advertising on the pro side that I can recall, we came within 5,000 votes of passage. And I think it's been demonstrated and that, I don't know if our problems are all that more complex. Perhaps there's some additional complexity, but certainly with lack of experience to some degree that it's understood by the public. This would be helpful to our process, and the time to make that change is long past due. And
the sooner as we advance this, the better.
Senator Courtney.
Well, I think Senator Menesse is right, and Representative Strobeck, I think it's a tough sell. And you wouldn't think that, because if it only loses by 5,000 votes in May of 1990, you'd think now it would have a better chance. But we've had a lot of ballot measures passed since then, and they passed on the basis that they've run on anti-government, anti-legislative campaigns. So you've built up this sort of image of the legislature through the initiative process or some of those ballot measures, as well as some very conflicted legislative session. You know, we have more of an image problems now, a credibility problem, I think, than we did back in May of 1990, because at that time, not even ballot measure 5 had passed. It was just, that was the onslaught of the 90s when ballot measures went on there, and they were based on less government and anti-government, et cetera, and they did win. But I think it's time to try it again. We're the only state in the union, I understand, by the state of fiscal, that relies on a single source of revenue the way we do. No other state does that. And if that is true, given the magnitude of the growth of our population and everything, and I think our infrastructural problems alone, it's really crazy to budget the way we're budgeting. There ought to be some kind of dramatic way to look at the budget in a realistic way. And you've talked about that, the size of the budget and the size of the population. I've talked about term limits. I've already talked about the initiative process. You talked about oversight administrative rules. What about the government and the legislative branch? You know, when you don't have to relate to each other but once every 2 years, you cannot develop the kind of relationship that we all say we need and want and love. It's always going to be somewhat adversarial. But if the governor's, if the executive branch, the governor's office knows it's got to deal with the legislature every year, and the legislature knows it's got to deal with the governor every year, I think that maybe those two branches of government might find a way to work together a little bit better than they have. And you can talk about who's in control and the personalities and D's and R's, but I really think it's time that there be a more frequent need for each other. We'll still fight, there'll still be the vetoes, we'll still do that, but I think that this every other year has become antiquated given the problems and given just the ordinary factions that develop between those two. I do think, and I've made this statement before, I think the legislature is no longer an equal branch of government. It is separate, but no longer equal. I think we have been badly hurt, and yet we're the ones that make the laws. And I think we need to restore some of that equalness, and I think you could do it with annual sessions. The final thing is, I don't know whether you know or not, a lot of you serve in local government. I just wrote an article. It didn't dawn on me until I wrote it. See, every form of government in people's lives, with the exception of this one, meets every week, at least once a week, usually year-round. Your city council, your school boards, your county commissions, your special service districts, United States Congress. Only the state legislature is a legislative body. Those are all legislative bodies. Meets 6 months, and it goes home, and that's it. And yet, the role that we play in people's lives, whether they like it or not, is somewhat significant. And I really think it's time that we start at least meet every year. And I'll let the certified smart and you other people who've studied it figure out how you're going to define those sessions. I don't like just a budget session, because I don't like that, because I think they both should be general sessions. How you can find it, how you describe it in terms of days and per diem and cutoffs is fine with me. But I think for all those reasons, it's time to put one out there and speak in good faith about it. Why you believe in it, why you think it's in the best interest of Oregonians, and why we believe it makes for good government and makes us it's contemporary with where Oregon, my Oregon, is today.
Whoa.
That'll be me. Don't hurt me.
Good. Yeah, I'm comfortable with pressing ahead. Understand the problems that we'll have, Senator Menesse, Strobeck brought up, but I think we need to craft something for Jeff.
But Mr. Chair, understanding that the committee may move ahead, forge ahead. I mean, frankly, I agree with everything that's been said in terms of the merits and value of doing it. I just think that our capacity to actually sell this to the public without looking somewhat disingenuous and, you know, the usual characterization that somehow we're lining our pockets, and that mischaracterization that we make $140,000 a year and we fly back to Washington, D.C. on a regular basis is simply not true, but a lot of people believe that. I would want to remind the committee, though, at least we need to be cognizant of a couple of things, and one is that in my experience here, and I think Senator Miller, you might, and Senator Courtney, and others would recognize that the number of issues and the kind of issues we're dealing with are far more complex than they were 15 years ago. I mean, sitting here trying to read a genetic privacy bill. I mean, literally, we're talking about DNA, genetic privacy, all of the issues relevant to that. We have the advent of the Internet. When I started my first political campaign in 1984, we were using 3x5 card file. So computers were non-existent, by and large. You couldn't afford one. You know, 80 processors or whatever, the new, you know, the computers. Today, technology is used widely in campaigns. It's used widely here. And we have all of the issues relevant to Internet privacy and some extremely complex national issues, communications issues, and international issues because our economy's changed. So on one hand, we're saying we want to limit our sessions. We want to limit our time here, but yet not recognize the complexity of the issues we're dealing with. And I think Senator Courtney's got, you know, got a good point. We have become a second class, or you know, an unequal branch of government, but we've kind of done it to ourselves, in a sense, because we've failed to budget for research staff, we've failed to budget for adequate staff for interim committees, and actually recognize that, because for whatever reason, political or otherwise, we have cut our noses off to spite our faces in a race for political control or whatever it might be to say we're more economical than one party or the other. And I think we've made a mistake in doing that. But we do need to recognize that there's a substantial need to have good quality professional people around here who can back up individuals like ourselves when we come in here to try to deal with these complex issues that we don't deal with on a day-to-day basis. So, and I do disagree, too, to some extent, that the interim is not productive, because I know the Senate Judiciary Committee and the House Judiciary Committee are dealing substantially with a huge volume of bills that were introduced during the interim, and we're taking those things seriously and having hearings on any of those bills. So.
Yeah, very. But I said, my comfort level is fairly high that we've got something to work with, so we'll press ahead with just two points. Real brief.
The complexity issue, one of the advantages of this system is that during that interim, you can probably take some time to actually study it rather than hopping from one hearing to another, hoping to have the last hour's worth of input be maybe the only input you get, and trying to make a pretty complex decision. You have actually time to reflect and inquire. And I would just say this, because I think Senator Beyer brought it up, these particular proposals, the only ones I've seen, would cause us to be in session fewer days than we've been averaging over the last 10 times.
With that, we are one more.
Just because former Representative Mannix brought it up, and I think if we're thinking about this, it is worth considering, and that's the alternative to putting something out on the ballot, but something legislatively first. And I would encourage people to consider the possibility of recessing till a date certain versus adjourning. There are some problems with doing that, but it is a possibility. And the other one is, there are two ways that we do come back into session. One is under Article 5, Section 12. The governor, for whatever reason, there's no constraints on him, can call us back in at any time, and that's the kind of thing that you could work out in advance. The other side of that one is, back in 1973, the people, through referral from this body, gave the legislature the authority to call itself back into session under emergency situations, but there's no definition of what that is. So there are other avenues to get there.
Okay.
They're worth looking at.
Let's be thinking about it and see what comes up. Okay. Very good. Thank you. With that, we are adjourned.
Yes.